おはようございます。That's not scouse. It's a good morning in Japanese. Thank you so much for having me here. It's good to see a lot of familiar and friendly faces and a lot of new and friendly faces. So I'm excited to be here in person. It's been almost 4 years since the last time our family visited, and we have multiplied since then. But thank you so much for your warm welcome. Like my wife was earlier, I'm also a bit nervous. I am a missionary, but I don't normally speak in front of a lot of people. Please bear with me if I keep looking down at my notes here. I wanted to say also thank you so much for all of your prayers, all of your support for what we are doing in Japan. I really wanted to communicate that we are there physically in Japan. We get the privilege of being there on the field, but you are very much a part of the work that we are doing in Japan. And the Japanese are coming to know Jesus thanks to this church and your support. So thank you so much. Okay, so looking at today's passage, we see that Paul is bold. Paul is very bold. He's like a Christian superhero, and he's like a model missionary. And there's a lot to live up to when it comes to reading Paul and his missionary journeys. Thanks for changing the slide. So he was supposed to go to these same synagogues that he went to kind of round up the believers and get them thrown into jail. But instead, he went to preach about Jesus, and he went to make more Christians. And as you can imagine, the Jews were not happy with that at all. Now, if I was Paul, I would be having some serious discussion with God about now. I would want to take this message that God's given me to a more safer place. I definitely would not be wanting to go to Israel right now. Instead, I would want to go to Rome. Let's just go straight to Rome, take the gospel there, because the Jews are wanting to kill him. And so because of the threats on his life, we see that he went from Damascus to Jerusalem to preach the gospel in this dangerous place. And we can see in this picture there, he started off on, it says Damascus, and he went to Jerusalem. But because it was so difficult, they shipped him off all the way to Tarsus. And this would be the beginning of his journey, eventually taking the gospel to Europe. But I have a question. The topic is God makes us bold. Where did Paul's boldness come from? Now, I don't think that it was down to his own abilities. I don't think that he was able to create this boldness within himself. It came from somewhere else. As we see elsewhere in his letters, specifically I'm thinking about 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. Paul did not see himself as an eloquent speaker. He said, "And so it was with me, brothers and sisters. When I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God." And in fact, it's been said that there was another preacher at the time, Apollos, who was an eloquent speaker. So if Paul wasn't so eloquent as he says, and it wasn't his natural ability, where did Paul's boldness come from? Now, in verse 27, it says that Saul encountered Jesus and heard his voice. Now, if you encountered Jesus and heard his voice, that would do something to you, right? That would give you a shock, maybe. And in fact, Paul went blind. This is quite an encounter. But if we remember from last week's sermon, Phil's sermon, which I watched, we heard that after this encounter, Ananias prayed for Paul. He laid his hands on Paul, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit. God empowers his people by the power of the Holy Spirit to spread his kingdom on this earth. It's the Holy Spirit. Even though Paul faced threats against his life, he spoke out boldly about the truth that Jesus is the Son of God, as we see in verse 20. I'm just going to quickly get some water.
My mouth is drying.
So next slide, please. So actually, the beginnings of the church in Jerusalem reminds me of the beginnings of Christianity in Japan. I'm going to talk a little bit about history right now, but I hope you find it interesting. So Christianity came to Japan in 1549 with the arrival of three Jesuit missionaries led by Francis Xavier. I'm sure he didn't look exactly like that, but that is a picture that I found that is a representing Xavier. Japanese people learn about Francis Xavier in school, and they know that he is the one that brought Christianity to Japan. At first, Xavier and his missionaries found it extremely difficult in Japan because they did not know the language, they did not know the culture, and they traveled the world on ships all the way from Europe to get to Japan. But they continued to persist even without knowing the language. Eventually, they were able to win the approval of some Japanese, including some local leaders who expressed interest in becoming Christian. And soon, more and more Japanese got to hear this message and express their faith in Jesus, until there were over 100,000 believers at one point during Xavier's mission there, which is pretty incredible for someone who did not know the language. Xavier and his disciples preached boldly, determined to reach all of the Japanese. And actually, right from the beginning, Xavier had his mind set on converting the Japanese emperor, because he learned while being in Japan that if you aim for the top, the leader, then you'll save the whole clan. So his mind was set on going to the Emperor of Japan. Sadly, this did not happen, but they really had this determination and this boldness to take the gospel throughout Japan, even back then. Next slide, please. So sadly, this, I guess, revival in a way, was very short-lived. Beginning in 1587, with Imperial Regent Toyotomi Hideyoshi's ban on missionaries, Christianity was repressed as a threat to national unity. Christians were persecuted because they were seen as being more loyal to Jesus than to the shogunate. And the shogunate were regional leaders at the time. The only way believers could escape imprisonment or death was to deny Jesus. And usually they did this by putting an icon of Jesus on the ground, and they would force them to step on his face, which many believers just could not do. So during Toyotomi's rule, especially, foreign missionaries were killed in Japan. And some actually, as we can see in this picture, that's Toyotomi, by the way. And as we can see in that picture right there, they would crucify believers. And most famously, as this one is showing, there were 26 martyrs that were tortured and crucified on crosses outside Nagasaki to discourage Christianity in 1597. Now, these martyrs included 5 European missionaries, 1 Mexican missionary, 3 Japanese Jesuits, and 17 Japanese laymen, including 3 young boys. And in 1640, the Tokugawa shogunate banned Christianity completely, and it ceased to exist publicly. Now, the Tokugawa shoguns eradicated Christianity in Japan via murder, persecution, and many, many difficult decrees. And in 1638, an estimated 37,000 people, mostly Christians, were massacred after a Christian-led rebellion. And within 50 years, the crackdown of the shoguns reduced the number of Christians to near zero. Next slide, please. Now, it did not go down to zero. Once the yeast of the gospel has been planted, it cannot be taken away. There was a remnant of Christians that continued to practice Christianity in secret. And they became known as the hidden Christians, or in Japanese, Kakure Kristan. And these secret believers would conceal Christian iconography in closed shrines, lanterns, or hidden parts of buildings. And we can see in the picture up there that they would have Buddha statues, but they would put crosses on them to avoid suspicion. Now, if anyone's read the book or watched the film by Shusaku Endo called Silence, that provides a detailed, fictionalized account of the persecution of Christianity in these times. So if you're interested, I would highly recommend you to either read that book or to watch the movie. But it's quite a heavy thing, and definitely not for children. But I just wanted to put that out there. So after around 200 years, when religious freedom was established in Japan, in 1873, around 30,000 hidden Christians came out of hiding. That's 30,000 Christians came out of hiding. And that's after 200 years. They did not have any priests. They were Catholic. They didn't have any priests. They didn't have any sacraments. Nobody taught them. But they passed on their faith through generations under such extreme persecution. They would pass on the faith to the family members, knowing that they could die. And I would say that's pretty bold. Next slide, please. Okay, well, things have changed. But Japan today, the church still exists. And it's thanks to the Christians that have gone before us. Our family has been called to Japan to bring the good news to the Japanese, just like Francis Xavier was. And there are missionaries, pastors, and believers dotted around Japan that have the same calling to reach the Japanese. In Sendai, the northern city of Japan, we have 8 missionaries with us. And if you want to find out more, there's a plug for this afternoon. In Japan, around 1% of the population know Jesus. The church has been small since these persecution times. But the Japanese are longing for a savior, even if they don't know it. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. I think, personally, there's a lack of Japanese worship in the world today. And there needs to be more. We desire for every knee to bow and every tongue to confess that Jesus is Lord. Not just the Japanese, but from every nation, every language, every culture. Next slide, please. It's the final slide. So what about me? Not me. What about me? Me. Everybody. So this is a line for trying to be bold. But how does this relate to us today? You may not be living in a state of persecution because of your faith in Jesus, at least with the threat of death over your shoulder. But you may still face persecution in some form. It is very countercultural, and arguably it always has been, to follow Jesus, no matter where you are in the world. In your school, in your workplace, in your neighborhood, or even in your home. Maybe you feel shy or timid, like me. Or maybe you worry about what others think of you, especially if they found out you're a Christian. Especially in the current cultural climate of moral confusion, where people are quick to judge and to place everybody in boxes, and how the media may portray Christians. Maybe you actually feel a tug in your heart for long-term ministry, or even overseas mission. But maybe you're just not ready. Maybe you don't feel ready, or maybe you don't feel bold. But as we learn from Scripture, it's not down to us. It is not down to our own ability to spread God's kingdom. The same Spirit who dwelled in Paul, the same Spirit who dwelled in Francis Xavier, in fact, the very same Spirit that dwells in Jesus Christ, dwells in you, dwells in me, and gives us everything that we need, including boldness. I, as I keep saying, grew up pretty shy, and I feel inadequate in front of groups of people. But God placed mission on my heart, and He placed Japan on my heart. I didn't feel like I can do it in my own power, and I still definitely can't. But I say yes, and God is using me. So fear not. You don't need to be a super extrovert. You don't need to have a PhD in theology or evangelism. You don't need to be a natural or a trained speaker. You simply need that heart of yes, the heart of here I am, Lord. Your servant is listening. Jesus chose 12 inexperienced and uneducated young men to spread his kingdom, as well as all the inexperienced and uneducated ladies too, including his mum Mary. Paul himself said that he was not eloquent. Francis Xavier didn't know Japanese and found it so hard that he called Japanese the tongue of the devils because it prevented the gospel spread. But God empowered all of them. He empowers you and he empowers me. I'll pray. Jesus, thank you so much that you are a God that is not far off, but that you choose to dwell in us by your Holy Spirit. This morning, please fill all of us afresh with your Holy Spirit. Give us everything we need. You know what we need this morning. Each one of us carries different things in our hearts, in our minds. Different things are happening in our lives. We want your kingdom to come here to Reading. We want your kingdom to come in Hong Kong, in Japan, all over the world. Please fill us and give us your boldness. Even those of us that are shy, quiet, lonely, depressed, give us your Holy Spirit, God. Thank you for your encouragement this morning. Help us to continue to walk in it. In Jesus' name.